So I get have the privilege of introducing and going to say a prayer for him. Amen. Lord, thank you. Lord, you know what's on Barry's heart. He's got right here. He's got your word ready to share. But at the same time, and not to throw a kink in things, I want you to speak through Barry. You to share, even changing the page, which I'm not going to do, but that you are blessing him for being here, coming to be a vessel of you to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dave.
Alan.
Dave, Allen, Bubba, Babette. I mean, you know. I'll let Allen sit down. Oh, you wander around, huh? Yeah. Well, Passover, a week from tomorrow, the 22nd. You know, in John chapter 6, verse 4, the scripture says, Passover was drawing near. Jesus is about to feed the multitude. He'll multiply the bread and the fish. But remember, Passover was drawing near. And after this miracle of multiplication, where the multitudes are fed, after that he leaves the disciples and he goes to get apart with Father. They go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus comes the next day. Now the multitudes have been fed. And they're looking for Jesus. They find their way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, where he's with his disciples. He's teaching. It's late in the day. And the disciples are concerned. They say, Lord, send the people away, lest they faint along the way. You know, the implication is they need food. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Now, if that were not possible, he would not have said that. But you see, they processed in their natural mind. That would take a full years of a man's working wage to feed this multitude. Jesus knew what he was going to do. I think he knew their response, because sometimes we're paralyzed in our thinking because we think with our natural mind. God doesn't want us to process who he is, what he's doing, what he wants to do with us and through us when it comes to the natural mind, because the natural mind perceives not the Spirit of God. I don't want to trust my thinking. Now, coming on 4/22, you better believe I was trusting my thinking. I think there's a suggested speed limit of 55. It's only suggested. But when it comes to our Lord, I want to be wide open. Because even Jesus said, I do the things I recognize or see my Father doing. I say the things that I sense and I hear him saying. Don't you want to flow with the Almighty, the Most High, the Lord of hosts, heaven's armies? because the natural mind does not perceive the things of the Spirit. Trust in the Lord with half of your heart. Huh? Your whole heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Isn't His ways and thoughts higher than ours? Yes. And so you see, Jesus feeds the 5,000, and there were probably more, but mentions 5,000 men. And you remember the multitude comes, and He says, you're here because I gave you bread to eat, you see. I mean, don't you love to eat? Come on, help me here. You know, when I weighed 225 and played college football, you know, every meal was the Last Supper. I did not eat to live, I lived to eat. That was a beach ball with teeth. Come on, relax. Jesus said things like, you know, he says, you look at a splinter in someone's eye, you've got a telephone pole in your eye. Get that. Bang. Excuse me. That's a beam. Wow. Passover was drawing near. And He talked about their desire for earthly bread. But then He goes on with a discourse, and it's very lengthy in chapter 6. But He calls Himself the bread of life multiple times. He even says that He is the manna sent down from heaven. The bread of life. Wow. And then He goes on in discourse with the religious. I'm not going to read line upon line, but it's there. They begin to argue and reason in their minds about manna sent down from heaven, the bread of life. And then He says these words, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you have no part with Me. What is this, a cult? Passover is drawing near. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. John called Him out as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world at least twice. In Revelation, the ascription to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, it's more than any other ascription, more than the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. That does not negate the fact that He's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. More than Savior, more than Lord, more than King. The Lamb who was slain and redeemed us. Redemption is ransom implication. He paid a debt He didn't owe. Without sin, He becomes sin when He's going to hang on the cross. But Passover was drawing near. Now you remember reading about the first Passover in Exodus. These people were slaves, weren't they? They were in bondage. Taskmasters were violent. It was like they had the foot on the neck of Israel, the Jewish people. And yet God had a plan of deliverance, didn't He? He said, take the lamb on the 10th day of Nisan. No, it's not a car. It's a Hebrew month. Take the lamb. You know, they took the lamb into their homes. Did you know that? They loved the lamb. You could see the little children holding the lamb and, you know, snuggling with the lamb. The lamb was there for 4 days. And on the 14th day, the head of the house would take the lamb. And he'd take that lamb in his arm. And the neck was slit in such a way that the lamb didn't feel a thing. And the blood poured into a basin. You see, there's no forgiveness of sin. Sin is death, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it likened to death? The wages of sin are death. But the gift, the free gift of God that you couldn't earn or deserve or make yourself worthy enough to receive. Eternal life through Jesus, Yeshua, Son of the living God. He knew no sin, but became the sin offering. He became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Because in our flesh, the me, the my, and the I, we had no righteousness of our own. It was like filthy rags. And the blood, the hyssop, was dipped into the bucket or the basin of blood. You see, hyssop spoke of spring, new life. And it was taken, and that blood was plastered on the doorposts and the lintels of every house. The blood. You think the blood of righteous Abel had efficacy or effect? Oh, yeah. It moved the heart of God, didn't it? Huh? Didn't Abel's blood speak? Yes. Well, this blood spoke. And the messenger of death, when the messenger of death saw the blood, the effect of the blood passed over. No death. No death. Firstborn was preserved, which speaks of the generations that would follow, the heritage that would continue. But you know something else? They were instructed to eat the whole lamb. Did you know that? The lamb was to be roasted, you see. And if a family was small, they were to share with another small family. But they were to eat the whole lamb. You see, they applied the blood. The blood of our Lord Jesus. Remember when Mary was clinging on, Mary Magdalene was clinging on to the Lord at the tomb. He said, "Don't clutch on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my God and your God." No, He's God. But I want to tell you something. He's the Son. He's the Lamb. The one who sits on the one throne with Almighty Abba in Revelation 22. They're on the same throne. And the Spirit of God is flowing, releasing life like a river. Powerful. Powerful. My. Eat the whole lamb. You see, Jesus is putting Himself in the Passover. Remember, Passover is drawing near. He is putting Himself in their Passover as the lamb. Because at that point in time, they celebrated by the blood which represented through the wine. The body represented when it came to the bread. But what Jesus is doing is putting Himself into the Passover. That's why He said, unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no part with me. Now I'm going to tell you, some people just had a hard time processing that, didn't they? Many of His disciples turned and walked with Him no more. That's what the Scripture says. Jesus turns to the 12 and He says, will you leave also? And it was Peter. Lord, where would we go? You're the only one with words of life. You're the only one. And they didn't fully understand the process, you see. But when Israel applied the blood, when they ate the whole lamb, listen to what the Scripture says. Not one of them left feeble. From the youngest to the eldest, not one left feeble. Why? Because of the blood. Because they left with the Lamb in them. I believe God's going to heal powerfully as we take the cup and the bread this morning. I believe that. My next trip is the 27th. I'm coming back to PA the 27th, and one of the places I'll be is Middletown, over next to Harrisburg. There's a church there, Fountain of Life, I've been there every year for several years. And about 2 years ago, walking in, the pastor, Peter Logan, wonderful brother, he said, Brother Barry, would you like to serve communion this morning? And I said, well, I'm open. And so what followed was this. They were trying to get the sound ready, and they had glitches in the sound, and they were working on it. So Pastor Peter stood up and said, does anybody have a testimony? And this elder, one of the elders of the church, I mean, he came walking up, and he was wincing with pain, and you could see it. And what he was saying as he walked up is he's saying, I'm progressing. I'm progressing. I'm progressing. When he got up there, he didn't have a mic. The sound wasn't working. And he told how he was in a bike accident and thrown from the bike. I don't remember all the physical conditions, but you could see it, you could feel it as he talked, and you could see it when he winced with pain, and when he finished his testimony, I'm progressing, he went back and sat down. Finally, we got the sound, and I turned to Pastor Peter, and I said, you know, I'd love to serve communion, you know, I'd love to do that. We're going to have, you know, our stewards come and in just a little while and serve the Lord's Supper. It's communion that flows from the Passover. The bread, the matzah that was taken. Do you know the matzah had pierces in it? Have you seen that before? It has lines in it. It represents the body. Wasn't he pierced? Wasn't the wounds, the stripes? You see, by those stripes, we were healed, we are healed, we shall be healed. Yes, there's healing in the Eucharist, healing in the community, healing in communion, our common union that we have. We are the body of Christ, part of His great body right here. He loves His body. Think about this a moment. Three and a half years, however long during that period the disciples were with Him. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought, oh, if I could have just been there? Me only? If I could have just sat across the campfire and watched Him and you know, get close enough, like John, you know, you'd find him sometimes with his head on the breast of the Lord. What a transformation they had. I mean, I've said this many times. It bears repeating. You know, John and James, what was their term besides son of Boanerges? How were they described? You think they had short fuses? Sons of thunder? Huh? Does anybody remember in the scripture when the thunder was roaring, John and James are ticked? Sorry to use that word, tick. Lyme's disease? No, they're mad. They're very upset. Why? He sent them into a Samaritan village to make preparations, because he and the disciples are coming in. What happens? Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. Don't you step foot. That Jesus is not going to come. They're insulted. They're angry. You ever get mad at, you know, certain things where people insult your faith? They insult your Lord? Does that ever happen? Well, just watch the liberal news and it'll happen real quickly. I'm not encouraging you to do that. It's Denzel Washington that said this. Don't, you know, get upset about Denzel. But he said, if you don't watch the news, you're not informed. But if you watch the news, you're misinformed. That's good wisdom. That's good wisdom. You see, there's a lot around us that affect us. We hear, we see, we experience problems, trials. Jesus said in this world, you will have tribulation, but I've overcome. One of the words I've brought, you know, multiple times over the last weeks is we've got to learn to live inside out and not let outside come in, because there's fear, there's anxiety, there's stress. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Huh? We've got to get perspective of who's in here. The Almighty, the Most High. No, we're not deity, but we have deity in us. Man, we should never graduate from that. I love God with us, Emmanuel. Yes, He is. But we need to process the fact that He's in us to will and to work His good pleasure. As we've received the Christ, the Anointed One, we need to live in Him. Paul uses the term in Christ 70 times in his epistles. As we receive the Christ, the Anointed One, so live in Him. Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ, HaMashiach, in us the hope is not a maybe. It's not an if. It's not a might. It's an assurance that the greater one is in us than he that's in the world. You see, it's over. He's in us to will and to work His good pleasure. He who begins a good work will do what? He will finish it. Yeah. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you how often? But you know what's better? He's in us. He's in us. We need to go farther, go deeper. The Lamb is in us. And boy, we've thought about it. Lord, if I could just have been there. Well, you know, the sons of thunder. What happened to John, the apostle of love? How does that happen? A guy with a short fuse. Because when they go back to Jesus, you thought I forgot that, didn't you? I'm a weaver. They said, Lord, can we call fire? Do you think they're ticked? Can we call fire down on them? I think their jugular veins, their carotid arteries, red is, I think they're ticked. They're sons of thunder. What does Jesus say? He says, you don't know what spirit you're of. Wow. But John became the apostle of love. How does that happen? I guess he just meditated on the fact that he loves me with an everlasting love. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I know Paul wrote those words penned, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you something. Something was imparted into this apostle. And I don't think that Jesus loved him any more than Peter. He loves me. He knows me. He cares about me. He's everything to me. Boy, I want to meditate on the fact that He loves me with an everlasting love, that nothing can separate me from that love. How about you? Huh? The greater one. Yes, in here. Here's something to think about. While Jesus and the disciples are looking across the campfire, they hear Him teach, they watch Him minister, He sends them out to minister, you will not find recorded where any of them during those three and a half years are sick, ill, or infirmed. Anybody recall? I mean, if you show me it, I mean, I'll humble myself and say I was wrong. I don't see it. Listen to me. There is no condemnation, no guilt, no the Lord never says to someone sick, infirmed, diseased, O ye of little faith. Go back and search it out in your concordance. Never. But boy, what a revelation of the Christ in us, the Lamb of God. And if you're battling something, there is no guilt. There is no shame. There is no condemnation because the Lord is not that one who condemns. But boy, Do you think that the power of God in the communion, where the bread, where the cup has efficacy or effect in us? I believe it. I'm convinced of it, you see. So while I was bringing the message that morning, after we received communion, the guy, I'm progressing. You thought I forgot that, didn't you? OCD's a gift. I've got an attention asset that's not a deficit. I'm not buying any of that stuff. OCD is organized, complete, and detailed. She likes that. Linda likes that. Yes, because she's OCD. It's a gift. Listen, Linda, we don't want to lay it on other people, though. When I go through the kitchen, you know, if the dish towel is crinkled, I just straighten it. I don't say, honey, there you go again. If that's it, I need ministry. I'm a weaver. The Christ in us, the Lamb of God. And then at the Passover, Jesus just, he looked forward. He said, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I will not yet again to partake of it until the kingdom. The marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what I believe that is. Whether I'm right or wrong, I was wrong one other time. But I believe the host is Jesus. Right? Now, Catholics, they believe in transubstantiation, you know, that when you receive the bread, it actually becomes the literal body of Christ. Take Lutherans, for instance, non-Catholic. They believe in consubstantiation, that we receive the body of Christ, but it's not that it turns in to the body of Christ. You see the distinction there? Have you heard this before? But you know what daily bread is? Super substantial, essential bread. Super substantial, essential bread. Give us today our super substantial, essential bread. Yeah, He is the bread of life. Peter writes to the believers that he's instructing in his second epistle, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4. He says, through his divine power, say that with me, divine power. He has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's eternal life, bread of life, resurrection and life. Huh? Life. Life. He says, my words are spirit and life, and the Spirit gives life. We have His life in here. Oh, everything though, isn't that an all-inclusive word? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. You know, you could get a buggy out there, and I love going through Lancaster and places like that, you know, and seeing that, but I'm going to tell you something. Outward holiness doesn't make us acceptable to God. If we internalize holiness, Him in us, wholehearted commitment, then it will be externalized without law, without rules. Boy, when you've got the law in you, you know what's right, don't you? You know what's wrong. You have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, patience. Huh? Patience is in you? Well, sometimes say, well, come on out, patience. I know you're there. Temperance. Wow. Faithfulness. Yeah. And then he says, against such, there's no law. Right? Didn't he say that? Come on, trust me here. He does. Galatians 5, 22, 23. Well, we've got the law of love that we're measured by. Yeah. Because He first loved us, right? Forgave you and me of everything. That's why we need to examine ourselves in a few minutes. He took the bread. He broke the bread. said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." Right? Took the cup. "Blessed are you, O God, our Father, King of the universe. You've given the fruit of the vine," you see. It's all attributed to him. Yes. Every bit. He said, "Take and drink." See, that's what we're going to do in just a few moments. Just a short period of time. Well, that man in Fountain of Life, that elder, jumped up during the message and went, "I'm healed!" And he started. And I'm going, what a face. Anybody got a phone? Don't take it, please. And then another lady said, "Oh, my pain's gone." She's sitting over here. "Oh, my pain's gone." Who did that? The Lamb who was slain by his blood. Out of every kindred and tribe and people and nation has redeemed us, ransomed us by his blood. Thought I forgot about Mary? Don't clutch on. I've not yet ascended to my God and your God. And what did he do? He sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat in the throne room. And by the way, his blood is still moist on the mercy seat. What's under the mercy seat? The ark. Do you remember what's in the ark? The law, the Ten Commandments. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So stop judging yourself. The only judgment we are permitted to do as believers is to discern ourselves, to weigh. Is there any wicked way within me? Lord, is there a blind spot? Because you desire truth in the inner man, Lord. Anything, Lord. I want to see, I want to know. And he will never rub your nose in something. He'll ask you questions like, "Where are you, by the way?" Didn't he say that to Adam and Eve? Did you think he knew where they were? Huh? Help me here. Well, we heard you coming and we were afraid. You've got perfect love in here. That's why you want to center down. Anybody have Quaker background in here? Anybody? Quakers. You remember center down? That's one of the theological processes that the Quaker would do. Let us center down. Why? Because the greater one is in here than that one who's in the world. Perfect love in here. The healer in here. The Lamb of God in here. Yes, it's amazing. Don't you want to ponder on that for a few days? How about a few weeks? How about every day? Yes, he's with us, but he's in us. The greater one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, Paul writes to the Corinthians about their process. You read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't want to go and read a lot of scriptures because I get caught up sometimes. You know, I go on wet rabbit trails. You think I go on rabbit trails when I'm preaching here? Oh, I'll really go on. If I read 25 verses, you know, I don't want you sawing logs on me, especially you people watching online right now. So glad you're here, by the way. Just think, you've got the Lamb in you. The blood has shed doorposts and the lintels of your heart. The blood is moist on the mercy seat, and the blood applies to the doorposts and the lintels of your heart. Right? Think there's an application there? We're called the house of God. Temple. Do you not know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? That the Spirit of God dwells? You're not your own. Bought with a price. God's own possession. You think he loves his body? Three of you. It's a good time to say amen. Amen. Seven. We're up to seven. It's a good time to say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. sound Pentecostal, don't I? Ha! Never mind. I failed back breathing 1 and 2 in seminary. Just ha! I couldn't get the ha down. Okay, don't get mad. Some people preach powerfully doing the ha. It's just, you know, ha. He talked about when they had their love feasts. Do you remember? Some drank so much wine that got intoxicated. Some ate so much food that there was none for their brothers and sisters. See? And this is what he says. He says, discern the body. Examine yourself. That's what we ought to be doing, is examining ourselves. Lord, is there anything? Do I have aught against someone else? Does someone have aught against me? Yeah. Lord, I search my heart, Lord. Yeah. Doesn't he say that? Yeah. Well, that's what we ought to be doing. In fact, I believe that we're doing that right now, Lord. Is my heart right? Am I putting myself before my brothers and sisters, fellow members of your body, Lord? My eyes are on you, O sacred head. In here, O Lamb of God. Yes. Yes. But you know, there are two aspects there. The body. But we've got to discern His body. It's twofold. We discern His body. He became sin, didn't He? That we might be made the righteousness of God. The great exchange, my lack for His supply. He became a curse that I might be blessed in every way. It's the great exchange. He took my guilt. He took my shame. He took my fear. He took all my wrong decisions, thought, word, and deed. He took them upon Himself. And He allowed His body to be broken. You see, we discern His body, but we discern His body. You know, during worship, I just felt like there was like a band around my whole forehead and the back of my cranium here. And it was just like a thickness. And I believe the Lord was just urging me to share that if you have anything going on inside that cranium there. There was a crown of thorns. Discern His body. Do you know those thorns are big? I've seen them in Israel many times, and they beat Him, and those big splinters, you know, they broke off. Those thorns, they broke off when they went through the scalp and hit the skull. And I mean, you talk about headache. You talk about migraine. You talk about anything that could happen inside the brain. Yeah. He took it. He bore our sicknesses and infirmities. I could feel in the hip. I could feel just, you know, just this dull pain. And then it was the esophagus. I could feel that also, you know. That which, you know, an esophagus can become herniated and also the reflux, and then I felt in the collarbone. I could feel. Now you say, what is that? Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Isn't He touched as our high priest? Doesn't He ever live to make intercession for us? Isn't He moved with compassion? We're His body. Didn't He feel power leave Him? You say, well, I'm walking by faith and not by feelings. I praise God. I don't have to have feelings, but I praise the Lord for them. Because some of you have those conditions, and it doesn't exhaust what God wants to do. The Lamb of God in us. Remember, from the eldest to the youngest, not one left in a feeble condition. Not one. Kathy Roush was there Friday night over in Sellersville, and the healings that happened. And you started to receive a healing in you, and that's still happening, isn't it? but you've had some breakthrough, haven't you? And we saw the man who's waiting, awaiting the surgical injections in his spine. And he was just, it was just happening in the meeting. Happening in the meeting. Yeah. Why? Because of him. Because of our King, our Lord, our Lamb, our Savior, our everything. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. And I could go on and on and on. Let's come now and prepare. Let's just prepare. And when you take the matzah and you take the cup, let us all eat and drink together. Could we just wait and do that once these wonderful elements of communion? Just close your eyes, would you, as they come? Just meditate on the Lamb in you. The Lamb of God. Yes. Thank you, Lord, that when the leper cried out from a distance and said, Lord, if you will, Jesus, if you will, you can heal me. And Lord, you said, I will. Because it's your will on earth, in us, even as it is in heaven, Lord. Thank you that you supply lack. Where there's deficiency, Lord, you're the all sufficient one. Peter went on with those same words when he said everything pertaining to life and godliness. You know what follows? He's given to us precious and magnificent promises. In order by them we become partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature is in you. No, we're not God. But the Lamb, deity in you, the fullness, the whole Lamb. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your body and your precious blood, Lord. Just hold on to those elements because we're his body. Now listen to me very carefully, okay? While this is being distributed, I want you to hear this. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, because there have been those among you who've not discerned the body. Are you hearing me? They've not discerned the body. Some have died, they've fallen asleep, and some are ill. You see, the power and presence of the Lamb in us contains healing virtue. So if you have a condition right now, your eyes are on Jesus, the Lamb who's within. His blood that has efficacy, that sealed a covenant. And we're raised to be seated with Him in heavenly places. He's granted to us these wonderful promises. By my wounds, by my stripes, you are healed. Bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. Thank you, Lord, that we're in a covenant with you, and this is a covenant meal. Just take the bread now, if you would. And remember, Jesus said, take and eat, for this is my body, broken for you. Let us eat together. Savor every chew. Thank you, Lord, that you're in us, that you're our life, resurrection and life, bread of life, super substantial, essential bread, Lord. Thank you that we're your body, Lord, members one of another with you as our sacred head. Oh, Lord, we eat, we savor, Lord, every bite. Thank you, Lord, that you're in us. Yes. Now let's take the cup before we drink. Lift the cup to him. Just lift your cup to him as if we're toasting our King, our rock, our Savior. Yes, Lord, we lift the cup to you. You took the cup. You said, this is the new covenant for the remission of your sin. Take now and drink in remembrance of me. Thank you for your presence, Lord, in us. Somebody in their lower back right now, just thank him that those discs are being restored, are retracting into the vertebra. Thank you that that collarbone, Lord, that hip, Lord, thank you that you're flowing throughout our whole being, flooding our souls, our mind, our will, our emotions, and flowing throughout our bodies, Lord. These temples of the Holy Spirit, we're your possession. Thank you, Lord. You said healing is the children's bread. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now he will finish the work that he has begun. Right? He will finish. He will complete. So agree with that. Agree with that. As you leave this house, agree with the fact that he is your life, that he said it is finished, that every system in his body, I mentioned the crown, when that 39 lashes tore the skin from his back and his midsection, where his kidneys could be seen, where the organs were viewed, the nails in his feet, the nails in his hands, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, every joint dislocated when the cross went into the socket and catapulted his body back and forth in whiplash fashion. All of his joints dislocated. Shoulders, knees, hips. And Lord, thank you that you had to drive yourself up. You had to push yourself up, Lord, with all of those dislocations to gasp for breath. Why is that, saints? Because every person that died the crucified life suffocated when they could no longer push up, and the pain would drive them back down. Those that have challenges in your heart, oh, I feel the power of God moving in my renal system right now. Thank you, Lord. The kidneys, the bladder, the renal tubes, the urethra tube. Thank you, Lord, that a prostate would be diminished back to the size that you intended. And Lord, that urine would flow and not just drip. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Lord, that your healing virtue is flowing, Lord, in our temples, your temples, Lord, as your possession. Yes, thank you, Lord, that you flow in our endocrine system, Lord. Pituitary, thyroid, pancreas, thalamus, hyperthalamus. Thank you. Lymph nodes. Oh, your healing virtue, Lord, flows in every system of our body, Lord, in our circulatory system, because you died of heart failure, a broken heart. Physically, you took sin upon yourself. Spiritually, my God, why have you forsaken? Thank you, Lord, that you've not forsaken us, but you've accepted us in the Beloved. We're sons of God. We're the bride of Christ. No guilt, no shame, no condemnation, no past sin. It's washed away, clean before the Lord, inside out, and healing flowing. The virtue of the Lord flowing, just like the woman that reached out with the issue of blood. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. Her eyes are on Jesus. Our eyes are on our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. And thank you, Lord, that power was released, virtue, dunamis was released, Lord. Your power flowing throughout our whole bodies, spirit, soul, and body, inside out. Is the Lord touching you right now? Is He touching you right now? Yes, He is. Thank you, Lord, that you're moving in eyes, retina, cornea. Oh, Lord, lenses. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, our eyes are on you, not on man, not on this simple preacher on the platform, Lord, but on the Almighty, the Most High, the Lord of angel armies, hosts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we honor Him, don't we? We honor our King. Yes. Healing flowing in our bones. Yes. Muscles, ligaments, tendons, cartilage, meniscus. Yeah, throughout our bodies. The skin. The dermis and the epidermis. Say, what are you giving me, an anatomy lesson? I'm just sharing what's flowing right now. Your whole body, spirit, soul, and body, presented blameless at the coming of our Lord. And He says, He will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It's the God of peace in you. Peace that passes all understanding. Guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Look within at the One who sits upon the throne of your heart, with all enemies under His feet and your feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand together.